Forever! Dog!
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see.
Wow.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that Ooh.
Culture? Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
If you keep reaching out,
then I'll keep coming back.
But if you're gone for good, then I'm okay with it.
But if you leave the light on,
I'll leave the light on.
Wow, what a crazy twist that we start the episode with
a song. What compelled you to sing Maggie?
I just bought tickets to see her.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
I'm going in September. I think I'm going on September 20th.
In Los Angeles?
Yes, in Los Angeles at the Greek Theater, which is my fave space.
The Greek Theater? Up in the mountains?
Up high in the mountains.
Yes.
I electric scootered about a month ago to the Imogen Heap concert at the Greek Theater.
I'm sorry, and you lived to tell the tale?
I lived to tell the tale. A thing I do is I electric scooter.
You gotta be careful.
You have to be so careful. It's actually rule of culture number four.
You gotta be so careful on an electric scooter. Was it a bird?
I have bird and lime.
Yeah.
Do you know about this?
Yeah. So I think last year I went to LA. I think they had just, I was in Santa Monica and decided to take a bird all the way down to the pier and almost died. And I was like, never again. And you know my family history with, bi-wheeled, vehicles.
I don't know about this.
Oh, my grandpa got hit by a bus while riding a bike in China and almost died. Then my mom, his daughter, got hit by a bus and almost died on a bicycle. So I don't trust myself.
So it's truly the transitive property that you have in near-death experience.
Yeah,
on a scooter.
It's inherited trauma.
Or a two-wheeled mobile.
Yeah, that's what exactly. So I don't trust myself with no electric scooter. But that's beautiful for you that this is your thing, is that you electric scooter to concerts.
That's really my thing now?
To these woo-woo ethereal, pop stars.
Yeah, and honestly, what would you call Maggie woo-woo
She's
and ethereal?
She's pretty woo-woo. She loves tweeting about astrology, that Maggie.
Well, I do love that for her.
Yeah.
Famously, I had an out-of-body experience when we went upstate and I looked at the moon and listened to Light On for the first time.
I had a spiritual experience at that same trip, and I went outside at one point by myself and I listened to Deep Cut Maggie, early Maggie Rogers.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was wonderful.
Do you know it was on this pod that we literally found out about
Mike
the goddess
Helton.
That is Maggie when Mike Helton was like, when we did Yes Honey instead of I Don't Think So Honey,
yes,
he said Yes Honey, Maggie Rogers, and we said,
like,
who did?
And then Maggie listened to that episode. She tweeted at us.
Sorry, we're just
name dropping.
Well, Bowen is.
I am.
Well, you are.
Well, I am. Anyway.
I stan Maggie.
Yes, of course.
And I'm going to see her, and
I've been on
a concert kick, as have you.
She's opening up for Casey that date, I think.
Mm-mm.
I think that's it. I think that's the tea.
Wait, what do you mean, what tea?
So Casey's doing another leg. Casey Musgraves is doing another leg of her tour.
She's not open, not the date I'm going. She's open. Maggie's doing her own show.
Maggie's doing her own show. Okay, great. Then I believe you. I believe women.
Why would he tell me that I was, like, as if I wouldn't know that I'm turning to our guest now, because it's really ridiculous. I know what tickets I bought.
Yes. Well, look, hold on. One second.
You act intellectually superior.
No. Oh, my God.
You act intellectually superior.
Wait.
And Bo's gotta go.
Can we talk about this?
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about it.
I think it's my first pointedly negative targeted review.
Your first targeted negative review.
And I gotta say, it sucks.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good, does it?
It doesn't feel good. And I'm so sorry. And now we have a shared experience.
Truly.
Someone
said, Bo's gotta go.
Bo's gotta go. Replace Bowen with Joel or Sudi. He's utterly joyless and I'm sick of him.
Painful to
he's
watch.
He's painful to listen to, and it's painful to listen to him act
intellectually superior.
And I'll cop to some
you don't have to cop to that. It's a hater and a troll. And as I always
actually,
say, kisses to my critics.
Kisses to my critics. But actually, so you can do this thing on iTunes where you click on their handle.
Uh-huh.
And it takes you to all the reviews they've posted for
stuff. Oh, wow. I didn't know
that. And so then this person, first of all, their handle was You Feel That Way, which is an homage to Matt. So clearly this person hates me and loves you, which is I love. But then
they endorsed this stripper.
They endorsed this stripper. And then I clicked on their handle to see their other reviews.
Okay.
And their other review was for another Forever Dog podcast, Nicole's Grey's Anatomy. Fabulous.
Uh-huh. Fabulous.
I was on the first episode. This person reviewed the first, left a review after the first episode and was saying how great the podcast is, which it is. And they end it with, also, Bowen is bae.
Well, so, they had a turn.
There was some turn, some inflection point there. I'm so curious to see. This might be a Dylan Maron conversation.
I was going to say, we should have a Dylan Maron moment and bring You Feel That Way on the pod and confront them about what makes them hateful.
What makes them hateful?
Do you know what makes me joyful?
Oh, our guests.
Our guests.
I love our guests.
I remember meeting
much.
Our guest, and you know, me I too. Always remember the important meetings in my life.
Yes, and this you count this as one of them.
Well, I met this person in a car.
You two were the same class at JFL.
We were. And we got put in the same car. Actually, it was a very gay car. Mm. It was me, our guest, and Sam J.
Oh, that's a gay car.
And we were driven to Montreal.
Yes.
And it was a joyful experience getting to know this person. And I have to say, what's been even better
yes.
has been over the past couple of years, getting to know him a little bit better.
Getting to know
and
him a little better, watching him perform.
We can call her a friend.
We can call her a friend. I really, really, really
smart
love our
smart bitch. Funny bitch.
The smartest bitch. Talk about intellectually superior.
Talk about intellectually superior. This, You Feel That Way would not feel such a good way about George Tavares.
No, not at all. So, I mean, tune out You Feel That Way.
Yeah.
I truly think our guest is so great.
I
really, really, really
And I've been
him.
Anticipating this.
I've been anticipating this a lot. My first meeting with him, I really like built him up myself.
Why did you do that?
Because I was like, oh, he's so smart. He's so funny.
Yeah.
And we met, and it was lovely.
And you realize he's just flesh and blood, like the rest of us.
But no, but he's not. He truly transcends, you know,
transcends the human flesh.
The human flesh.
Wow. Oh, my God. A front runner for title of EP. He transcends the human flesh.
I just really, really like him a lot. And you should please welcome into your ears,
George Tavares.
Hi.
Hi, George.
Hi, Stupid. Oh,
hi, God. Stupid.
I did kind of waft in as a cloud, and then the particles kind of came together into human flesh.
Yeah, that's exactly
absolutely.
What happened. You were gaseous,
yeah.
And then you were a solid, which is how that goes.
Which is right. how that goes.
I'm one of the only people that can kind of transition between
matter.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. What
absolutely.
Would that make him?
What do
something
you mean?
That
sorry?
Can transition between matter. You're the you're
Alex
the
Mack.
Yeah, Alex Mack.
Alex
Mack. That's
oh,
culture.
That's culture. Oh, Alex Mack is a blind spot.
That's what I came what? To talk about.
Did you hear him?
Alex
that's
Mack
crazy.
Is a blind spot. Wasn't there an Alex Mack a pop star? For
oh
a second
my
there?
Gosh! Wait, I don't know that, but you
anyway.
Don't know Alex Mack, the Secret Life of Alex Mack, Larissa Olenek's like,
yeah.
vehicle.
No,
I feel like Alex Mack. I never chose to watch it, but it was always on.
Wow. Okay,
and it's like Bryce Dallas
I
Howard.
Can,
you
yeah.
never choose
her,
no,
but sometimes she's just on.
And it's also just
and
such
like
a
it.
Like. It's like early. Kind of CGI where it
uh-huh.
do you
yeah.
remember? It's
goofy.
Just like yeah, it's like this glittery goo that then turns into a person.
Yes,
you would love it, Bowen, because it's one of those shows that's like in the opening credits they very quickly recap like what
yes.
happens in the pilot that makes her magical
perfect.
Goo,
that's great.
And then the whole show is just she's a girl who solves crime and she can turn into
it's
goo.
She goo.
I don't even remember that she solved crime.
she I believe she solved crime like in like a very much like going into like. PG&E Aaron Brockovich type
yes.
situations.
Okay, yes.
And she was constantly turning into sludge and getting in hard to get
right.
places.
Wait, I'm sorry. She would always get into PG&E Aaron Brockovich situations?
You
is
know
what
I'm saying? Like it, basically the whole thing was like there's nefarious shit going on with
yeah.
the chemical company that like
got
I believe,
it.
Right? Am I making this up?
I honestly have no idea.
Okay, George.
Right. Yes.
This is something that I'm so curious to talk to you about
uh-huh.
as someone who, you know, moved around a lot, probably,
yes.
I want to say, and, like, was raised in, like, a non-English-speaking household.
Right.
In a way.
No, in a
big way.
In a literal way.
Okay,
yeah.
So I'm always, like, I'm learning to forgive myself as of late.
For your blind spots?
For my blind spots, because I've spent a lot of time with people who are like, you haven't seen that? And I'm like, whoa, stop it.
So this is something I think about all the time,
yes.
and it's because not only did I mean, yes, I grew up in a non-English speaking household and I was the oldest, so I didn't have like older siblings
yes.
to explain things to me. But then the other thing was that we moved back to different places at random times. So it's like I spent my early childhood in Greece.
Uh-huh.
Then I lived in the States from like second grade to eighth grade. And then we moved back to Greece.
Wow.
So my blind spots don't even make sense because it's like there can be something that's like from seventh grade when I lived in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
That's like an American pop culture thing that I know really well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then... I've never read The Great Gatsby because
there
that's like
go.
A
yeah,
high school book,
high school
and I
yeah.
went to a Greek speaking high school, and mm. that was not
why
in
would
curriculum.
You be presented with that?
So it's or just like movie, like I remember the year we moved back to Greece.
Uh-huh.
I was so overwhelmed with like I mean, I was at like a second grade reading level in Greek, and I had to suddenly be in high school in a Greek speaking school. Yeah. So like, it was, I had like a tutor, and then it wasn't even just the language. It was like learning Greek terms for like science and math, and like, cause everything was in Greek. So basically that year I literally consumed no culture.
Yes.
And I distinctly remember that was the year Brokeback Mountain came out.
Wow.
And I didn't hear about it until like over a year later where
you would just like have like blacked out spots.
There's like that year, which was I guess 2005 or so.
Yes. Yeah,
I literally consumed nothing.
Nothing.
Wow. Yeah.
So
you had to learn how to read.
You had to learn
how to learn how to read.
You had a catching up to do.
And then I became. And then it's like obviously in Greek culture, I had so many blind spots because I had not grown up there.
Sure.
So it's like aside from being like people were at the time because it was Bush era, extremely obviously anti-American abroad. So like already people were like. Did not like me.
Uh-huh.
But then I also just like wouldn't know basic things.
Yeah.
Fuck. So you had like nothing.
So
going
you were proving, you were in a way, in their eyes, you were proving them right. Like you were stupid.
Well, not just that, but then in my mind, I was like, because
stupid American.
Yes. But then in my mind, because I had grown up with immigrant parents here, I thought it was like my big homecoming going back to Greece. And I was like, well, here people will like, because it's like when I was in America, I was like, what's lacrosse? You know, and then, and then I would like go back and I was like, oh, this is like where my people are. And then they were all like, you're American.
Wow.
Yeah. So, wow.
Has there been enough distance now for you to be able to pinpoint what your coping mechanism was for that?
I mean, well, it's also hard because, and this is something I'm only recently like thinking about, it perfectly coincided with me realizing I was gay.
Yes.
Really?
In a way where it's almost like it's like written by like Jhumpa Lahiri.
Yeah. You were the other.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's all a metaphor for transition.
Yes.
But literally it's like I moved across, you know, across the
pond.
Atlantic, across the pond to Greece, famously.
Yeah, that's what they call it, across the pond.
Like the summer where I was like coming to terms with that. So it's all a complete blur because I feel like I had to have all these mechanisms to just like kind of exist on it, which I don't want to over dramatize it. I grew up privileged, but
it's really a shame that you didn't see Brokeback Mountain.
That is
sure.
So. Yeah.
Do you know what happens in it?
Yeah,
I can tell you what
tell
happens.
Tell us.
So in Brokeback Mountain, there's like two men.
Yeah.
First of all, they're both men.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Heath and there's Jake. Mm. And so Jake is like the one who, you know, let's just say makes the advances on Heath, and Heath was very much like a second grade reading level sexually.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like he was like very whipped up in his body. Anyway, they have sex and realize that they're gay, and you know, hijinks ensue.
Now I
famously kind of a comedy of manners.
absolutely and it ends hilarious.
I feel like I appreciate you not wanting to overdramatize, but I feel like it's rife with drama.
It is rife with drama.
And like
you should write that play.
To realize you're gay in Greece, come on.
Yeah, but that had to suck because like then you have to realize you're gay and be closeted around the most beautiful men in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think they grow into their beauty.
They grow into
Some shade against the Greeks.
Some
I always forget that you are Greek.
Yeah.
Because I'm Greek.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wait,
my mom's maiden name is Claritas.
I had no idea.
That's how we get this brows.
George's jaw is on the floor.
No, I could
tell.
We also have
this?
Similar coloring generally.
I know. You mentioned my tan, and I tan very, very quickly because of
That's so crazy. I had no idea.
Yeah, no. My mom's maiden name is Claritas. What was my big fat Greek wedding like for
I loved my big fat Greek wedding.
Yeah, it's so good.
In fact, I went on... Have you both done Jamie's podcast? The Bechdel
cast? Yes.
So that was my movie for Bechdel.
Great.
Oh, really? How does it do on the Bechdel
cast?
It definitely passes.
It totally... Yeah. You don't have to pick a movie that doesn't pass. Talk about like representation. In fact, I was so... like defensive of it that I listening back to the episode, I was kind of being really defensive with Caitlin Durante, who kept being like, well, maybe it's not great that like ultimately she finds empowerment through a man. And I was like, no, you don't get it. Like,
well, she didn't get it.
Yeah. I was like,
well, she didn't.
But I was like, you don't, it's like difficult to like find a midway point between like American culture and like a different culture. And like what that movie portrays so beautifully is one way to do that.
Yes.
And I think it's very kind of simplistic to view it through that lens of like, oh, she just gets married at the end. That's so
Because the conflict is the culture.
Yeah.
You know?
And also it's like, it's a win for the character because she marries for love, for real.
Exactly.
And she wants to get married.
Right.
Well, and all the influential characters in that movie are women. It's like the mom, Andrea Martin, you know, obviously Nia Vardalos. I'm literally getting chills.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Yeah. That's Andrea Martin in that movie is a
revelation.
Lainey Kazan too.
Lainey.
Yeah, no, Lainey Kazan. No, that movie was huge. I remember there was a time when I could recite it from beginning to end.
Yeah.
My party trick in middle school amongst like the girls who got it, and like there were no other gay people, was just to quote the Andrea Martin twin. Like,
all my life, monologue. I had a lump.
Exactly. All my life, I had a lump. Like,
twin.
I would do the accent and I would just quote it to people at parties, and then girls like would laugh. My allies.
I believe that Nicole Silverberg just posted it. This is her second mention on this podcast in this episode.
Hi, Nicole.
Groundbreaking.
Hi, Nicole.
She was like, this is one of the best comedic monologues we've seen in a long time.
100%. I mean, that movie, I was about to say it's like underrated, which is false. It's literally like the highest grossing romantic comedy or something.
Yes. Huge.
But I do think when people, I would say, let's say like a BuzzFeed or something were to do like top 10 romantic comedies, there's a good chance they would miss that one.
100%. They do miss it.
But it is
a romantic comedy, 100%.
So good.
Just because it doesn't have a Julia Roberts or a Sandra Bullock in the lead role, I think that's why it gets skipped over.
Yeah.
And I also think she was a non-traditional choice for the lead of those kinds of movies, which also makes it so powerful.
But hello, she got fucking nominated for the fucking Oscar
for the screenplay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that screenplay is, oh my God.
And it's, we're going to have the same conversation out of Jamie and Caitlin, so we need to nip in the bud. But
I refuse. I want it to be a duplicate.
but it's like, it was an unknown woman in her 40s writing, producing, and starring in a romantic comedy in the mid-2000s.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And super independent.
Yes.
Like, truly not a lot of money at all.
Do you guys know who the producer is?
Playtone?
Yeah, no. Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. Reed Wilson, yes.
Because the story goes that he saw her one-woman show.
Yeah.
Because she was friends with Rita Wilson.
Well, so Rita is Greek.
Yes.
And
Yassas.
Right.
That's actually rule of culture number 7.
Rita Wilson is Greek. Yassas.
The fact that Rita Wilson is Greek is like a big...
It's huge.
It's a huge for me.
Yes, I wonder what her maiden name is. Do we know this?
She might be like...
She might not have...
It might be like half Greek and it's like her mother.
Yeah. We might not be able to find it.
Yeah, but I do know that... First of all, I saw her recently because...
oh my God.
Last year at my sister went to college with their son, their youngest son, I believe. And so I saw them at the graduation. They were both very cute. Do we have intel coming in?
Yes. Okay. So, wow. All right. So this is insane.
What?
Her real name is Margarita Ibramihov.
Ibramihov?
Oh, yeah.
This is insane. Anyone know that Rita Wilson's real name is Margarita Ibramihov?
Did you know what is... Okay. Pop quiz, what is Tina Fey's first name?
Elizabeth
Stamatina.
Elizabeth Stamatina Fey. Yeah. That's real Greek.
And then is Zenobia's in there or something?
Oh, I don't know. I just know Stamatina is so Greek.
This says her mother, Dorothea, was Greek.
Love that.
This doesn't say her maiden name.
Okay. Now what's with that whitewashing, Rita? I think we got to take her to task.
Her father, Hasan Halilov Ibrahimov, was a Pomak Bulgarian Muslim born in Breshtin, Greece, close to the border with Bulgaria. Can we believe this?
I love that.
I think...
Rita Wilson.
Rita. Marguerite?
Margarita.
Margarita.
Oh my God, thank you, HPA.
There has to be, I mean, beyond the Mykonos of it all, there has to be some fun little queer moment for you two to go back to Greece and do some. I think it's a rom-com story.
Why can't we go to Mykonos? You can't see me in Georgian Mykonos?
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll all go to Mykonos together, but I'm saying like there's something. I mean, I think there's a Mykonos rom-com that you are destined to write someday. And I think for George, there's a more sort of
smart,
prestige.
Go ahead and say it.
Oh,
no,
my
no,
God.
No, I'm gonna say
you are acting intellectually superior.
No.
Actually are.
Well, okay, let's break this down. Let's unpack this.
Let's break this down.
I literally had the thought today on the subway. I go, Matt Rogers is one of the smartest people on this planet.
Shut up.
His responses to things as they happen, where does he have his mind? I don't understand how
This is about George Sedaris and his incredibly smart screenplay he's going to write about.
And George is going to write something a little something prestige but dark, but ultimately has a tragic ending.
How
and
do you feel about being described as artistically prestige but dark but with
I
a tragic,
love the tragic ending?
A tragic ending, yeah.
Are you willing to respond to that call?
Yeah, I mean, I really am. Just...
Why? I want to know why you think it would have a tragic ending.
I take that back. I'm saying not tragic, but I'm saying it's like end of Fleabag season two.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I
yeah.
love that.
There's a moment of complete closure for this character.
Yeah,
that would be based on you, but you will have been there. Your scar tissue will be very fresh.
Okay, so I think.
That's the highest compliment.
No,
it really
I
is.
Do think
to
it
say
is.
You're even capable of
no,
a
no, the only reason
huge.
Is, what was
what were your thoughts on
no,
Fleabag season
no,
two?
I love Fleabag. Great. But the only thing I was going to say is that it's like as a consumer of media, I yes. love things like exactly what you're describing, and yes. I feel like I. Because I'm so like joke oriented,
yes.
when I sit down to write something, I can only write
a joke.
I can only write jokes. And actually, like, I had written something at some point, and like one of the criticisms was that it feels like it's written by a stand up comedian.
Wow.
Because it's just like all I do is like dialogue, like a series of dialogues that have. That are just like joke. And I really, and I feel like it stems from like an insecurity of like being. I'm sorry,
go
like vulnerable on the page.
Yes.
And anyway, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So
yes.
it's like, I do think that's a compliment because that means that maybe someday I will be able to attempt something like
oh,
that.
Oh no,
but that it's like,
I have confidence in Matt. I think you agree with me. I think George has a very sort of, auteurish future
oh,
ahead
my God.
Of him.
I would say auteurish.
Auteurish.
You know, I am identifying with this because a criticism I used to get a lot was all the characters sound the same.
Oh,
and I think that means that you're writing in a strong voice.
I agree.
So, you know, you've seen successful writers that have that. I mean, especially earlier in her career, in Diablo Cody, all her characters sounded the same. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, she was just, like, everyone sounded like Juno in that movie, except maybe Jennifer Garner.
Woody Allen?
Yeah, right. I mean, there's certain writers that, like,
I threw that out as, like, a gross, like, a chilly, like, ooh, but no.
Yeah, he was trying to give us chills.
Yeah.
Did he give you chills?
No.
When okay. he said Woody Allen, he didn't strike fear in you?
No, I felt nothing.
I
felt nothing. You know what I saw 2 seconds of the other day, which looked like hot garbage?
What?
Wonder Wheel?
Oh, that looked
heard it was
so bad.
The movie with Kate Winslet yeah. and, sorry, but Justin Timberlake.
Yep.
Like, there was a scene between them, like, they've just fucked, I guess, and there's a scene with her getting dressed and he's laying in the bed. Have you seen this?
No, but I just, like, when you watch the trailer, it's one of those, and I hate when this happens, when you feel like... an actor that you respect. In
yeah.
this case, obviously, I'm referring to Justin Timberlake. No, Kate Wins. It just, like, is embarrassing themselves.
Yeah, right.
And I hate that. And I feel bad saying that. But and this is controversial, but that's kind of how I felt about, like, Mamma Mia 1 with Meryl Streep.
Oh,
I guess
was,
a little,
like, just, like, her jumping on the bed. And I was just like, ugh.
See, now, I don't have that problem with Mamma Mia because it's, like, for me, it's, like, how else would you do this?
Of course.
And like I don't feel mad at Meryl for saying yes to that movie. I feel A, mad at Kate Winslet for saying yes,
yes.
to it. And B, I watch it and I'm like, for you to say yes to this and this also be this bad, like this scene with Kate Winslet and, sorry, Justin Timberlake, I will say sorry before I say his name for the rest of the podcast. It's just like, these are two people who aren't speaking to each other.
Mm.
And it's like, it just yeah. goes to show like, wow, if we didn't cancel Woody Allen for being, like, disgusting, then we should definitely cancel him for being, like, completely rote and just, like, mm-hmm. it's just so repetitive.
Well, it's also, I mean, again, putting all the gross stuff aside, just yeah. as a filmography, he has always been inconsistent. Like,
mm-hmm.
it has always been, like, one good movie, one bad movie, mm-hmm. one good movie, one... like
so prolific.
Too. Yeah. I mean, there is a movie that he did with, like, Jason Biggs and Christina Ricci, and it is... terrible.
Yep.
Yeah.
You either hear about them because they fucking kill at the awards at the end of the year, like Blue Jasmine or something. He either like
yeah.
fucking nails it or it's terrible
yeah, yeah, yeah.
and you never hear about it again.
Or like
somehow
Scoop. Do you remember Scoop?
No.
Oh, I remember
Hugh
Scoop.
Or no. Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson.
Was it not Hugh Jackman? Who am I thinking
of? I don't remember, but.
Like, whatever. It doesn't matter. But yeah, another just complete. I remember watching it and like forgetting it as it was happening.
Yeah. This is like anyway. Right before he got canceled for good, but. Midnight.
Well, you say that, but he's working on a movie.
I mean, this is a whole other thing, which is just like, they always say, like, you know, don't get mad at the actresses. Like, they're just trying to work. It's like, I have a huge problem with that because Kate Winslet is not just trying to work, in quotes. She's an Academy Award winning actress sure. with many options and choices. And I do feel upset that she said yes to that movie. And I do think that she should answer for that.
I think that.
Sorry.
I think that these people exist in a different media environment than you.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But you know what I think? Like, you don't think that she weighed on her mind, like, it might be problematic if I do this, maybe I shouldn't?
Or that her team.
You know, they may have, but I think we constantly underestimate how people are not part of, like, mainstream conversations that we think are, like,
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Once you're up there, like, the focal point is. Yeah.
And also, like, the relativity of the ethical quandaries, it's like, it's the equivalent of, like, me deciding whether or not I want to use, like, a plastic straw or a paper straw. And it's like, sometimes I'll make the right decision, sometimes I'll make the wrong one. And it's all okay. Like, that's it. It's like, for her, it's like maybe she made some decision she was proud of and some that she was less proud of, but she's not going to, like, derail her whole. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
There's, yeah.
I'm not saying I don't agree with you. I think, like, if everyone was on the same page, then I think you're absolutely right. But I mean, it's like, I've been thinking about this with the Scarlett Johansson stuff too. I'm like, what kind of things must she read?
Right.
Like,
yeah. Well, she must
be. Or who isn't she talking to?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. She's out of touch to say that. I mean, no matter what, but like to what degree is she for her to be able to say that in the first place or to feel like she should?
Yeah. Or it's like, I wonder if she even knows something that she's saying will be controversial or if she thinks she's like speaking some big truth. Like anyway.
Sure.
Odd time for her to do that too. Right before the announcement that like Black Widow was happening.
Yeah. I know.
Like
I know.
It's so like that could have been such, I mean, and I don't know. I don't know really where everyone's at with Scarlett Johansson. I've always been a huge fan of hers, and when she messes up like this, it's really frustrating because I think she's so good, and I just want to see her like get there, like in terms of these conversations. But with the Black Widow of it all, it's like, I wonder if that would have been a more prominent part of that big Marvel announcement had she not just had this whole thing go down, because it feels like that big Marvel announcement, which was like crazy.
Yeah.
All that stuff that was announced. I feel like, you know, rightfully so, like the conversations that I'm seeing online in my bubble anyway, is like about Blade and about like, you know, the Eternals, and all that, how diverse the roster is. And like, you know, Tessa Thompson is going to have a queer love interest in Thor and Natalie Portman's going to be female
Thor. That's the only thing I know is that Natalie Portman's going to be female Thor.
Yeah. Natalie is going to be fucking female Thor, which I don't really know how that makes sense in the canon, but
it's multiverse stuff. So they're opening up the multiverse,
right?
Where like there's a different world in which she is Thor.
So Jane Foster, her character from the movies, literally true.
Okay,
yeah. Oh, okay, so it has been announced that Jane Foster becomes Thor.
Great, fun.
And it's also like we're trying to rationalize the Marvel movies, which I have to say, after having seen all of them, yes, I get that Endgame was good. And I get that some of the movies are good. I can't understand a thing that is happening in any of them.
I don't care at all.
Thank you. And can you believe there's going to be
a whole new
arsenal?
Are you a Marvel person?
I
cried during Endgame because I was stoned out of my mind and I was with Joel and like we were just very emotional.
I've learned to like be accepting of like, I think it's so boring to be one of these people that's like adults watching comic
movies. Yeah, no, yeah, I mean, yeah,
but
cares?
Then it's like part of me is thinking that, but then also I'm just like, it's all so boring. Anything you can say about them, if you like them or if you don't like them, I just like wish we could stop it.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
And also their military propaganda.
This is all true. It really is all true. Damn. Like the whole thing of like sort of like, what's it? Like a glorifying like nest or whatever, or like whatever it's called. Like the whole recruitment process of it all.
Oh, God.
It's just a little goofy.
I saw Wonder Woman on a plane and I was like, this is the most abhorrent thing I've ever seen.
I think
no offense to Patty Jenkins.
I think Patty Jenkins is wonderful, but she didn't write the movie. She directed the movie.
Okay,
right?
Well,
I mean,
also Gal Gadot, not a good actress. Anyway,
I mean, how could she be good?
I think the concept of superheroes is like there is some like propaganda. There is some proselytizing thing about like joining the military. Like literally,
I mean,
like
Captain America. Captain
did you see Spider-Man Far From Home? You don't care.
No.
All right.
I would. I've heard it's good.
I fell asleep numerous times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, did you see that interview with Kirsten Dunst where she was asked about the new Spider-Man movies? And she was like, well, we did it best, so I don't know why they keep doing it.
I mean, love that. She is 100% right, and I fucking love her.
I love her.
I think we've discussed
this.
She
is, we have.
And I'm not the first gay man to say this. But
you will not be the last.
Like the lack of respect.
Completely.
Oh, complete lack.
That Kirsten Dunst gets, not only as an actress, but as a cultural figure, yes. And mm-hmm. someone who is knowledgeable about film, mm-hmm. and knowledgeable about art, and knowledgeable about film history.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And talk about, I mean, making choices about what projects to participate
yes.
in. Kirsten Dunst, I mean, the thing she chooses all could be taught in, like, film schools.
Yes,
like,
yes, yes.
It's, and even the she's like, okay, I'm going to do Eternal Sunshine. I have a small role, but that is going to be a movie that people talk about for decades.
She should have been nominated for an Oscar for that. That's the definition of a great supporting performance.
There was, like, she's
and that character, the movie doesn't work without that character.
Not at all.
Yeah, I mean, she's in that new show, which looks very good, which I know you...
Yeah.
Yes.
On Becoming a God in Central Florida.
And it was introducing the cast, and it was like, Emmy and Golden Globe nominee Kirsten Dunst. And
wild.
I was like, are you fucking kidding
She's
me?
She's never been up there saying thank you.
Like, are you kidding me?
It's crazy because I was literally just explaining. So that we do this, there's this thing called your coven, which uh-huh. is like the five actresses who like, you
She's
could-
in mine.
Like,
She's
in mine. She's in my coven for yeah. sure. And so I say all throughout my life, literally from the beginning, she has been in like yeah. the defining movies of like, yes. I'm telling you, like, if you could start from the beginning. I wasn't like cognizant of it during like Interview with the Vampire, yeah, yeah. But that's a stunning performance. And then, you know, from Jumanji even to like Bring It On, bitch, Drop Dead Gorgeous to
incredible
Eternal Sunshine yeah. to even the more adult stuff that she's done recently,
Melancholia,
like Melancholia yeah. and
Bachelorette.
Bachelorette is genius,
oh,
and the movie with Nicole
oh,
Kidman.
Yeah, yes. Sofia Coppola.
Yes.
Wait. Oh, God.
This
damn
is
it.
So embarrassing.
Wait, Marie Antoinette.
No, Marie Antoinette, too. But
then,
like,
what the hell is
this
movie
called?
I saw it in theaters.
The Beguiled. Thank you, HPA.
Yes, HPA.
Oh, my God. Yes, The Beguiled. We saw movie theaters. Again, yes. Another performance that, like, I thought should have been in the conversation.
And she was
the
best one in the movie.
Absolutely. And the most difficult part.
You know, yeah. I forgot about... I mean, as a movie, it's, like, fine. But her... I think she transcends the script. Like, her... I think that's... I agree that it was one of the best performances that year.
Also, yeah. I loved her in Hidden Figures. Remember?
Absolutely, because she plays the part.
Yes,
she commits.
You know what's interesting? And we were talking about Natalie Portman. I feel like they've had very similar trajectories, except they diverged in a wood.
Explain this.
Like child actors in yeah. very prestige films who like sort of.
And early nerd culture stuff, like
early
Spider-Man
culture,
and,
yes,
Star Wars.
Didn't even mention Spider-Man, obviously yeah. huge.
And then like, but Natalie wasn't really into the rom-coms until later on, maybe. Like, she'll tangentially, like...
She was getting her checks.
Revisit it every now and yeah. then. But, like... But I feel like Kirsten stuck to her art house guns mm-hmm. a little bit more and a little bit longer. And, yeah, she doesn't get the respect she deserves.
I mean, and then also, like, we haven't even mentioned her incredible performance in Fargo. Which
I haven't seen Fargo,
but I heard she was amazing. Yeah.
So she's unbelievable in that, and I think it just got lost in the fact that there's just so much gold happening with actresses on television now. I mean, hello.
I think there's enough of a groundswell happening with. There's always, but she's all she hasn't. There's no comeback narrative because she hasn't been gone.
Right.
But it's like, I think there's a moment that's imminent with her in the next few years. I
think it's cool that she has this show.
I wonder if. You never know. I wonder if it'll be like her moment. Because you never know because the field is so crowded. It's like Christina Applegate gave such an amazing performance in Dead to Me. She's not going to win.
I literally watched three episodes of it today.
Oh, it's
I
so
cannot
good.
Believe how good she is.
Did you, have you seen
I haven't it? Seen it because a guy I used to date loves it. And I'm like, no. I'm
yeah, yeah,
gonna.
Yeah. That's fair.
You have to watch it.
Okay. Wait, I wanted to go back. Bowen, you need to watch Bachelorette.
Okay. It's so good.
And it's like, you know, it's Leslie Headland who did Russian Doll. And like, she's a playwright by training, or not by
Leslie.
Like she was a playwright for many years. And it's very much, I think it's based on one of her plays, and it's very much written like a play.
Right.
Which is like, a lot of people don't like that. Like people
that.
Don't like, you know, doubt or, you know, like movies like that. I kind of enjoy
it. I love them.
Yeah. Like
so, Three Billboards you liked?
Oh,
because I feel like that's like
I guess
written
that,
as
well,
a play, I know it's controversial. Never mind. Don't answer that.
No, that's a shitty question. No, that's not. I would say I didn't
hate it.
I didn't not like it because of the play thing. I didn't like it for other reasons.
Right. Yeah. I that came out so loaded. I didn't mean for it to be loaded.
No, but you're right that that is the quintessential example. You know what else is a really good example of this? Yeah. Closer.
Yeah, yes! Of course. Things that were literally plays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know. But yeah. But some of them translate best.
They don't make much of an effort to make them cinematic. Yeah.
Sure. But Bachelorette succeeds on sticking to its play.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Also, Bachelorette includes James Marsden, who is also in Dead to Me, who is truly fine wine.
Also, Adam Scott.
Adam Scott.
Isn't Dead to Me?
He's in Bachelorette.
Oh, great.
Adam Scott fucking. So have you watched any of Big Little Lies this season?
Okay, so I've watched all of it except, I want to say, two episodes. Okay. And the reason is because basically I'm not a reality TV person.
Yes.
Okay.
I started Vanderpump Rules.
And when I tell you I physically am unable to press play on anything else in a way where I'm like, I will sit on my couch and be like, I want to watch Big Little Lies so I can catch up.
Uh-huh. Yes, but.
And I'm not able to watch anything other than that. And I've watched 3 seasons in 2 weeks.
Oh my God.
You have been tweeting about Vanderpump Rules.
I was like, this is embarrassing. I like deleted some of
it. I mean, it's a part of the culture.
I'm also so late to it. Like,
anyway. No, I just started it recently.
Really? You did?
I did, and I really enjoy it.
Really? Oh my God. It's the one thing on Bravo I can't get into, and I haven't tried it all. It's like, but the thing is, like, I used to say this about Housewives. I was like, never getting into that. And now I'm like, so into it.
Yeah.
It's such a trolly show.
Really?
It trolls even harder than Housewives.
Yes.
And I watched a few episodes yesterday, and I smoked a bowl and I was like, this is the best thing. I'm still only on season one.
But even from season one, I feel like once you get past like maybe the first episode and just like know the characters, I was on board.
That's beautiful. I want to talk about this more. Sudi sent me and Matt a text yesterday saying, you guys have to start getting into Love Island. And I watched the first 4 episodes of season 5, the current season in the UK, and it's truly phenomenal. And I love it. And it's so
they have real sex on it?
I haven't seen any of the sex yet, but yeah, I mean, they all sleep in the same room.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
And so every round is a different iteration of the couples.
Sure.
So, and then, you know, it's the last couple to make it to the end wins like 50,000 pounds or something. But the interactions are so interesting to watch, and you end up getting lost in these narratives that like are unfolding, and you're like, no, you can't go with that person. You're supposed to be with them. Like,
yes,
it really
this is.
This is
literally what reality television does. It is expertly crafted nonsense that makes you care. Literally, I watched one episode of the new season of The Bachelor the other night with my sister, and now I'm invested.
Yes.
And these people are good at what they do.
But it truly transcends all, like, transcends, to me at least, in my sort of narrow-minded view of the world, is like, it transcends, like, race and class and every, like, it truly, it's like,
well, that was what the real world was, remember? It was like people talking about race and class sexuality and like blah blah. It's like and it kind of works.
But it's also like a terrible ill of society that's sort of gotten us into this horrible
Works until the people in charge realize they can make more money by just heightening it to be trash. And that is why I think The Bachelor every season gets more and more trash, and what they're willing to condemn is less and less. Like, for all intents and purposes, Bachelor in Paradise should be fully canceled after there was a sexual harassment situation.
But they've realized that it gets a conversation going, and so they just want
makes
to
make the money.
But this is what I like about Vanderpump is that
it starts out trash.
But not just that, I don't feel bad for anyone.
Yes.
Because, and I was like explaining this to someone recently, like a psychopath. It's like, I feel like with most reality shows, either you are basically like gawking at poor people or gawking at rich people.
Yeah, you're right about that.
And in Vanderpump, it's like, these are people that are like in their 20s and 30s that are struggling actors in Los Angeles who do want to be on TV.
Yes, yes.
Are hot, able-bodied, privileged in the general sense, and that they are like, you know, straightforwardly middle class.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I feel okay being invested in their like cheating scandals and stuff. And I don't feel like I'm like, you know, exploiting someone who like shouldn't be on TV.
Yeah, you're very right.
And it actually occasionally will happen when a character comes in and I do feel bad for them, or they're like clearly unstable. And then I'll really not like that because it takes me out of it. But I can't watch The Bachelor. I mean, I'm sure I could get into it. I'm not above it. But like, that is for me why I kind of stopped watching reality TV for literally like 7 years. Mm-hmm. And then this was like the first thing to hook me back.
Well, there was a point with after reality TV was born, it was like this. We talked about Joe Millionaire the other day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like there was like Joe Millionaire, there was Survivor, there was American Idol. And then you saw all those things kind of succeed. And The Bachelor was a part of that too. And then all of those things, I think, got pushed to limits. Like when American Idol was mean, it was truly like dangerously mean to people with like William Hung, who had something going on developmentally, like what you could say. Also, like the way they would do the eliminations was purely just cruel. And it was just like, I think reality TV in that moment where you stopped watching it, it got pushed so far.
Have we cycled back now?
It then got pulled back, uh-huh. And now I think it is getting to the point where like we're almost there again, where it's like, guys.
Yeah. Guys.
It's rule of culture number 11. Guys.
Wait, I have a point that is very slippery and might be wrong.
Go. Here we go, bitch.
I feel like good reality TV is gay camp, and bad reality TV is straight camp.
Yes. Absolutely.
And I think straight camp embraces cruelty in a way that gay camp does not.
Okay, here's a great example.
That's a great
and
point.
We've brought this example up before. Io Debre's episode, we talked about Omarosa at length. Mm-hmm. This was the day that she got fired.
Yeah.
Celebrity Apprentice, her and Piers Morgan screaming in the back of a minivan.
Yes.
Like Piers Morgan saying some racist shit at her, and Omarosa being like, "Well, you're in the closet, and you're gay, and you haven't come out yet to your family, and your wife hates you, and like, that is straight camp, and Trump has the whole pall over that show too. Where it's just
Trump,
like
it gave birth to Trump. So let's just say that.
So it's just like you look at that and you're like, that's dark and bad, and there's nothing good that can come of this. Whereas Vanderpump Rules, it's like, oh, Stassi's upset at Jax for cheating, and this is pure season one stuff. And I'm so behind. Stassi's mad at Jax for getting a porn star pregnant in Vegas. Like, that's fun. I don't know.
It's either fun or it's fucking dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, Trump is now dangerous. My I Don't Think So Honey Later actually has to do with politics.
Okay.
But the thing is, like, it's... We see, like, what the worst of this has literally given birth to, and it's not funny.
And here's
or
the thing.
Fun.
People who are trying to equate Marianne Williamson with Trump, it's like, no Marianne Williamson is gay camp. Trump is straight camp.
That is absolutely true. That's actually rule of culture number 22. Marianne Williamson is gay camp. Donald Trump is straight camp.
George is regretting this.
No, I'm not regretting it at all. I'm like replaying the moment earlier where I was like, the real world like talked about race and class, and it really worked. And I just want to take that back.
Because this is what
I'm
saying,
though. You say something and you're like,
I get it.
No. But George, it did. That's the thing, is like they created something that was good for the world. And then when they realized it was more positive for them financially to push it to be, let's put racists in here with people of color, they did that.
Yeah.
So we can't have nice things.
Right.
But that literally, that show was good for the world. I mean, Pedro, I mean, the whole HIV. Like, like narrative.
Right,
this season.
That's what I was kind of thinking when
So I think the point does stand, which is these things. It's like it gets to an excess where you're like, guys.
I just want to say for now in 2019, Love Island is very much gay camp, even though they've only had hetero couples, but it's gay camp.
Oh, so okay. So my sister watches the whole Bachelor thing. She's Bachelor Nation. And she says that she goes to me, Bachelor in Paradise is having their first same-sex couple. I said, let me guess, it's two women? She said, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I said, let me guess, it was literally, they're both not contestants. One of them's a contestant and they brought someone from off the show. She's like, yeah. So basically I was like, so they co-opted like a real thing in the world and brought it in just so they could say they had a same-sex couple.
And they don't dare dip their toe into anything sodomy related at all. Like it's
no,
like
no,
they,
no.
They,
oh really?
Something being in a butt just.
Oh, because I feel like Real World had so many gay men.
Right, but it's like Bachelor.
Well, Real World, yes, but because Real World is like still niche.
I thought
Bachelor,
you meant they being like reality and TV in general.
The
Bachelor. Yeah. Awful. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, like people were like, we need the gay Bachelor. It's like there will absolutely 100% be a lesbian Bachelorette before there's a gay Bachelor, because we talked about this at length on our Scott Thompson episode. But there is such a fear and disgust when it comes to anal sex, but sex between men. It's like, to be honest with you, I'm shocked we're seeing a mainstream presidential candidate that is gay before we're seeing a lesbian presidential candidate, because I like you've seen even in media, like you've seen like like so many presidents that are women have like the powerful energy, and like Cherry Jones played the president on 24. And I feel like these are kind of things that are accepted, like the kind of energy that a president has. Like if you had an effeminate male president, well, you could never see that.
Yeah. Well, it's because femininity is
perceived weakness. Or yeah. Whatever.
Right. And that's the whole fucking problematic thing about it. And also, like, the straight men that, like, run the world can see through the male gaze if they're seeing, like, I don't, like, when there's lesbians on television, they're like, well, I get her because she likes women like me because women are hot. And actually, I'm deciding this is hot. Mm. Meanwhile, where it's, like, two men, they're, like, gross.
Mm-hmm,
gross
mm-hmm,
dude.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You ever got into Housewives? You never got into Housewives?
I watched the first maybe two or three seasons of Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. Which is why I had some context for Lisa Vanderpump.
Which and then also I, got dark.
Yeah. Right. So that's the thing. And that's why I stopped watching. Because I just like didn't like what it was doing to my psyche.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But oh, I will say when I think of, and I've missed so much at this point that I just like can't jump back in. Sure. But when I think of like the episode with the dinner party where there was like that woman who's a medium with the vape.
Mm-hmm.
Like that to me is one of the best episodes of television.
Yeah,
of all
I mean,
time.
It's delivered some of the best episodes of
and
television
that
ever.
Is that episode is Vanderpump-esque because it's just like the stakes are just high enough.
Yes, yes.
Anyway,
yes,
yes. I was talking to Ira, Madison, Raisani, and Sam Griceman about this. Like we're on like a little group chat called Bravos because we all watch Bravo, and they were saying that Beverly Hills used to be about like the cracks in the china.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like the kind of it was really about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills was really about like what we're hiding underneath the surface and what happens when those things really break. And those are the people that think like the height of it was actually that those really dark times. And then they were saying, I think it was Ray that said Lisa Rinna broke Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Whoa.
Because she came in with her like loud energy and confrontational style. And it was no longer about like
the veneer.
I don't agree with this. I think Rinna is canon.
Yeah.
And I'm Rinna. But, I think that
there
was a moment where, and maybe it was Rinna coming on, that made Beverly Hills less about what we hide and more about how we dish it out.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Is it fair to say that New York is about joy in the face of darkness? Because that's why I love New York.
Well, that's an interest. Do you watch Real Housewives of New York?
Nope.
It's something that you need to do.
I know. No, that's what Tyler Coates was saying. That he was like, you have to just watch all the reunions to catch up, and then you can be like,
that's actually
that's
a really
smart.
Good
that's
way
really
to. That's
smart.
A really smart way to catch up on Housewives.
Yep, he's Tyler a genius.
Genius.
Shout out to Tyler Coates.
Shout out to Tyler Coates.
Mm-hmm.
A genius.
A genius.
There's been some really good reunion happenings lately.
I loved this. I'm caught up on the reunions, by the way.
Yeah. Well, did you were you like a person that watched dramatic television, or were you a reality TV kid and then had to stop?
That's a good question. Let me think.
Then again, it's
like
your blind spot.
Yeah, like in high school, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it is the blind spots because we didn't get the American reality shows, and I'm trying to think of. Like, I would say in college, I would occasionally watch, like, Kardashians.
Mm-hmm.
Was that college or that it started?
They've been around for fucking ever.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
crazy.
I've definitely, like, when people... Do you remember that moment where everyone was like, the Kardashians are actually smart?
I know.
Or when people were just like, Kim Kardashian is a
businesswoman.
Like, during that time, when I was like, maybe there's something to this. Like, I would, like, watch Kardashians and... And then, you know what? Okay, so the one channel we would get in Greece was E.
Yes.
I love that E is the one channel they got in Greece.
As in the one channel that had like,
I like thinking
reality
about
shows. Yeah.
Yes.
So, and which I think that's what Kardashians are on, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So like, then I also would watch like things like Denise Richards, It's Complicated.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Or like things like that were like E, because that is the only, because we didn't get Bravo or what are the, like VH1 or like any of the other channels.
Yeah,
so it was the only reality shows I watched other than like the Greek ones, which also existed, were the E ones.
Did you ever watch Anna Nicole?
No.
I never watched
Anna Nicole was a reality show that you'll never see again on television that is an example of it getting pushed
dark.
Too far.
Yes. It's dark.
And I do remember that. And that was actually before that. I was still living in the States when that was on, I remember.
Mm-hmm. We must have been young watching.
Yeah, she was like one of the earliest kind of pop culture figures I remember just like kind of being obsessed with.
She was iconic.
Yeah.
She was iconic, but now we know it's because it was for all the wrong reasons. But
I know,
like,
and the way people treat it. I mean, just like, ugh. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh my God, wait. Never mind. Sorry.
What are you looking at?
Nothing. Because Ray Sani brought up something about, but now I'm remembering that franchise was not on E! And it was on VH1.
What are you talking about?
The Flavor of Love universe. Uh-huh. Did you ever watch Flavor of
no,
Love?
No, I'm familiar with I feel like I've watched things those people have been on or
yes,
something.
Yes,
or like
yes.
They also, I remember like the roast of Flava Flav.
Yes, yes, yes.
And like,
oh my God, he got a roast.
This is all so, okay, this is actually what I wanted to talk about was, I think that we have to establish like a code of conduct when it comes to someone being like, to someone having a blind spot. Because
mm-hmm.
I've had just so many reactions to things that are like, you haven't seen what? And like, there needs to be like, that needs to kick off like a protocol with like, okay, so when someone hasn't seen something that you are so like emphatically in love with or like that is so meaningful to you,
mm-hmm.
like what do you say? You go, okay, well, you should watch it and you should, and I'm going to convince you to watch it. Like what do you do? Like, I don't know.
I'm
like,
not going to change saying, oh my God, you need to watch this. If it's a protocol thing and something that I need to change my behavior.
I'm not saying that's inherently a bad thing to do, but like what else, like what do we do beyond that to like.
I think we take them
uh-huh.
to a home with
yes.
a television.
Yes.
We sit down, hold their hands.
Uh-huh.
Well, what I would do with George is I would take him to my home.
Yes.
I would say, you wait right here.
Mm,
I would go get out the Sauvignon Blanc.
Oh.
I would pour us both a glass. And okay. I'd say, you can sit wherever you want, but I'm going to sit over here on my bed. And then I would sit on my bed. And he, I don't know, I think it would take him a while
this
to get
horny.
In the bed.
This is getting very hot.
This is horny.
Okay, wait. This actually reminds me of a time where I did have someone come over to my apartment. And then I thought we were going to hook up. We ended up watching TV. And I sat in the bed. And they sat they sat on a seat. And I was like,
oh,
okay.
No, you didn't even sit next to each other?
No, and it was just like, it ended up being a nice, fun time watching television, which is fine.
Which is fine.
Which is fine.
That's okay.
That's okay.
What's your boy situation right now?
Wait, it's crazy that you asked me that because yesterday, which was famously my birthday.
Literally, happy birthday.
Thank
literally
you.
Happy birthday.
I also, because of that, I'm in a very self-reflective mood.
Yeah.
I was like, it's
yes.
very good.
What age did you turn?
28.
Wow, you are young though.
Whoa.
Aren't you guys literally my age?
I'm 17.
28.
I'm 29.
Okay, wow.
But I can't believe you were 27.
I didn't know you were younger than me. That's cool.
That's fucking cool.
That's cool. That's really cool. I don't meet a lot of people that are younger than me.
Okay.
What's the self the
introspective
thing?
How are you
thing?
Reflecting?
Wait, no.
So funny that we mentioned boys.
Boys, I have like no... No, the thing I was going to say is that my ex was at my birthday wearing the exact shirt Bowen is currently wearing.
Fuck.
Which I love.
Which what is what, the Robin mean? Shirt?
Which is the Robin shirt. Honey tour
in
shirt.
In the black or the white?
It was the white.
I bought it in the white.
So what is
I
that?
I almost bought it in the white as well. So wait, okay. This is not interesting, but I was recently in London and I saw her in London.
Yes.
Ooh, how
and
was that?
So it was incredible. And it was because, so I think all the dates she did in New York were at like...
It was Barclays. It was at some ballroom. It was like at some smaller venue than Barclays.
What?
Right?
I thought it was Barclays. I thought you did MSG a while ago and then came back to do Barclays.
I mean, we literally just saw her at Barclays.
Right, but before these shows that we saw, it was MSG. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, months ago.
So the place, where I went to in London was a GA-only venue.
Wow.
So it was perfect because I literally paid much less than anyone paid, you know, to see her at Barclays.
Sure.
And I was like 10th row. Like, you know, just like it was like people standing, I was like 10th. And I was like right in the middle and it was like a, just like... Probably one of the best concert going experiences of my life. And it was also just like cool to see her in like a different country. Like it felt like
that
was,
is
you know,
cool.
There's something really sexy.
And it was
about.
My best friend lives in London. So it was just like perfect. Like I was visiting her. Anyway, but
you are international.
You are international fish.
She's American. She just married a British guy. She's a college friend. She married a British guy.
Oh my God.
George.
He has a college friend who was American.
American.
Who married a
British
man. And he was
raised
in Greece.
What
else have you been?
International.
Hello.
Do you consider yourself a traveler?
Honestly, no, because it's okay. In this weird counterintuitive way, I feel like I actually travel less than if I didn't have like non-American parents because the traveling I do is to visit my family.
I know. And then you're with family and you can't really, and then your options are limited.
Like, I have a weird, I was thinking about this today, like, I have such a weird guilt about. All of us going to Fire Island this year because I don't actually take a lot of vacations that are not that I can't somehow combine with visiting family. Because everyone...
I see.
Right now, so I have two younger sisters who I'm very close to. One of them lives in California. One of them lives in Munich in Germany. And my parents are in Luxembourg because they left Greece like a while ago.
Oh, my God.
And so... That's what everything is planned around. My life is so difficult.
Yeah, it's horny though. Yeah. Wait, so how are you feeling emotionally?
Wait, cut that out.
What? No, no, we can't.
I already came.
I made myself come with my own moan.
Wait, let's all do one.
No.
Wait, readers, tell me what you think about this.
Readers.
Oh, fuck.
Here's mine.
No,
no! I don't like that. I was like, you smelt a beautiful pie. No.
I'm not participating.
George,
in this.
You have
George,
to.
George, you're prude.
No.
Don't you want to have sex?
George.
If you want to have sex, you have to do sex noises.
Don't you want to have sex?
You have to send out the pheromones.
No. Okay, we're America, as we've discussed, is not ready for anal.
Yes!
No, so you're right, we have to get them ready.
So
that's our whole purpose.
Public like, forum.
You just talked about your ex.
Yeah, we never had sex. To my ex!
Oh, speaking of international fish, little mix. Wait, hold on. I just want to really quickly put out there what Ray Sani said.
And this go
is
ahead,
a, this
go
is a
ahead.
Scholarly take on
I love
TV.
Ray, and she knows she has the scholarly takes.
Here we go. She says, we would probably still be living in the Flavor of Love universe and wouldn't have Love and Hip Hop if the psycho who made Final Three on Megan Wants a Millionaire didn't kill his girlfriend and himself. That's insane.
Yeah.
We might not have had Cardi B if it weren't for that man who murdered his girlfriend and
interesting.
And
Ray, famously someone who told me she was coming to my birthday party and did not show
oh,
up.
Oh, she's in New York.
Oh my God, you guys.
The only, Matt, of everyone that's been mentioned today, mm-hmm. is the only person who sent me a very nice message saying, I can't make it.
And I George. Was, but I did also said, I said, we're going to celebrate tomorrow when
yes,
I see you.
Yes, we are.
I was saving my load.
Don't
for,
even fucking
we're
going
to spend days together in a house.
We are, that's true.
He's going to come all over you in the house. He was saving his life.
All over you in the house. We're gonna be sitting on a wooden dock just watching the sunset.
Are you excited about Fire Island?
Rock hard.
Are you excited
about
Fire Island?
Island?
Okay, want to know something? I've never been before.
It's going to be so good. You're going to have a lot of fun. I think you're going to like
excited.
It. It's really what you make of it. I think we're going with good people, mm-hmm. our group. It's
that's what
fun.
I was, I'm like, I feel like very safe and comfortable with everyone in our house.
Yeah. Right. It's fun to go down to, what is it called, high tea or low tea?
Low tea.
And I also feel like I don't feel, since you guys have been so many times and I've never been, I don't feel like embarrassed or insecure about not knowing. Like,
I feel like
with all of you, I can be like, tell me, what should I do today? Like, what are we doing today? And just like follow along and be fine.
I'm going to be posted up by the pool, laying in the sun, not speaking.
Love that.
My favorite part of the trip is sunsets on the dock and just dangling your legs over the water with your friends
and taking a picture in golden hour.
I hope this is funny, but my
I hope this is funny.
When I was I can't believe I keep bringing him up, but when I was dating my ex, uh-huh. his dad had this thing with sunsets where he was so intense about everyone's eyes being at the sun right at the moment when it like goes
Whoa.
To the point where it became like
hot,
a traumatic. It's like then everyone in his family actually like associated sunsets with stress because they would think of his dad just being like, don't take your eyes off the sunset. Don't take your eyes off the sunset. Like,
oh,
we
that's
have to
true.
Know
oh,
that's
sunset.
Bad. That's bad.
See, that's really
straight
ruining
camp.
Something.
That's straight
that,
camp.
That's literally straight camp. You have to stare at
no.
the sunset.
No, don't tell me.
He's a very sweet man. But no, I just found that very funny.
I don't think he sounds sweet at all.
He's canceled.
And the way you have portrayed him on this podcast is not so sweet.
Not so sweet.
And I don't think I like you talking about this ex.
Yeah.
I will stop. I need to
I talk about my ex all the time.
Not only did I talk about him twice in this podcast, I talked about him before we started recording with your producer.
Oh,
really?
When I walked in.
I just looked down at my phone and I had a text from my ex.
Love that.
So this is the point in the show, George, an hour in.
An hour in, yeah.
Where we ask the question, what was the culture that made you say culture was for you? And we've discussed a lot of your formative culture or lack thereof, but I'm curious to hear what you think, looking back on yourself, was this culture that made you say maybe culture?
Wait, okay. I have a really good answer for this.
Go,
oh my
bitch.
God. No one's ever really led with that.
Because
go.
I was, first of all, I was so unprepared for this. I was like walking here and I was like, wait, fuck, I have to do an I don't think
yes,
so.
Yes.
But then it just like came to me. So I'll just say what it is. I was obsessed with the Olympics growing up.
Wow, Greek.
And, right. And it wasn't
gay.
Even right. Yes. So this is what so it wasn't as a surprise to no one. It's not the sporting events that really got me, but it's like the pageantry of
yes.
it all.
Opening ceremony. Yes,
and the kind of like anyway, so my yes. thing is that in 2004 they were in Athens,
yes.
and it was the first time they were back in Greece since the first since modern the first, Olympics. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I went to the opening ceremony.
Wow!
And so that to me, and okay,
oh
so I don't
gosh.
Know if you've seen. Literally, I'm not kidding. I still occasionally watch it on YouTube.
Really,
just like on
the
my
Athens
own.
Opening ceremony.
Yes, the Athens opening ceremony.
Describe it.
So it is basically a very like what I love about it is that it is obviously pure spectacle. I mean, it is an opening ceremony
yes.
of the Olympics, but it is the most kind of, and I hate to use the word tasteful because it kind of has like
please.
Weird cultural connotations, mm-hmm. But it's like the most minimalist version of a spectacle mm-hmm. in a way that's like both meant for Greek people watching and meant to kind of export certain cultural elements outward into the
wow.
world.
Which is what it should
which
be.
Which is what it should
yes.
be.
Yes.
And basically, it's. I mean, it starts with all this kind of gorgeous imagery. Like, you go, you went into the stadium and the bottom was filled with water, kind of.
Right.
And so it starts with this giant paper, like, origami is not the right word, but like a, you know, a folded paper
I
sailboat.
Remember this.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like this giant paper sailboat, which is a very Greek thing. It's like a thing that, like, Greek grandfathers will like make out of a napkin or something and mm-hmm. give it to like and there is like
yeah,
a
but Japanese people invented folding so go sorry dumb joke.
Wait, I was the other day I was thinking about when we were at somewhere oh it was at Max's party and at some point I was just like I want a tattoo of an origami sailboat and then everyone was like oh
I don't remember that oh I do remember you saying that anyway I would love that you.
Thank you so anyway, so it starts with that, and what I meant was that kind of.
Yes,
so it's
yes,
that boat,
yes.
and then there's like a little Greek kid waving a Greek flag. And then there's like this other thing where like this giant statue appears out of nowhere, and then it breaks into a like seven pieces, and then inside it is a statue of like the next iteration of Greek statues.
Mm.
So it starts with like a minimalist kind of like face.
Right.
Then it's like the like a body with like the
yes.
limbs missing, kind of like middle. Period or whatever.
Right.
And then it's like something more complex. So it's like the history of like Greek sculpture.
I love that.
And so then the main event is that there was basically almost like a parade with floats kind of Greek art, starting with like the earliest
mm-hmm.
Greek art
yes.
all the way to like present day.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, there were like, you know, kind of shirtless men painted like gray that had like, that looked like, you know, Greek statues
right.
or whatever. Then there was like, it famously, the first person to appear was this woman who was kind of like a goddess of fertility type. And she had like her boobs out, but they were painted like completely white with like black nipples. So it looked very kind of surreal.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, I mean, think of the simplest thing as just literally like a collection, like a parade of floats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's so simple, but it just says, so it tells like the entire history of like
yeah.
the Greek civilization.
Yes.
And so the other thing is that I realized much later that it is directed by this Greek choreographer who is queer.
Oh.
And so, and it kind of like clicked and I was like, all of this is so queer.
Yes.
Like it is the most queer possible. First of all, Greek culture itself is so,
so queer.
Gay in mm-hmm. a way that's like, so obvious, and there's such a sense of denial about it in any kind of like mainstream Greek like
so
conversations about it, which is so frustrating. Like
yeah.
all the famous like Greek artists, Greek poets, it's like there's so much queerness
yeah.
in that stuff, and no one addresses it. Anyway, that's a whole other topic.
But you're right. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, mm-hmm.
but the guy that anyway. So yeah, so this guy is queer, and another person who was on the creative team of the production was Yorgos Lanthimos.
Oh.
Which is so crazy. Like, as a young, he was probably, like, in his, I don't know, 30s, 20s?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
When
that's
happened.
So interesting.
So, and another one is this, oh, God, I'm forgetting her name. Athena something, who's another, who then went on to become a famous Greek director as well
wow.
and did a lot of kind of, like, movies that were, that are in this, have you seen Dogtooth? It's
no,
like a Lanthimos. It's like
yeah.
Lanthimos' first movie
yeah,
that was nominated
right.
for the Foreign Film Oscar. So he kind of exists in the same vein as her of like, it was called The Greek Weird Wave.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a series of movies in kind of like, basically during the beginning of the Greek financial crisis that were dealing with it from a very like kind of like crazy surrealist perspective. Just I mean, it's like Dogtooth. It's like just very just like strange and fucked up storylines. As a way to deal with like the precarity of the financial crisis. I'm not articulating this well, but like that's basically what it was. Anyway, so she was on the creative team as well, and it just like obviously I didn't understand a lot of this stuff as a however old I was, you know, 12,
14.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that you responded to. And exactly. You're like, I don't know why.
Oh, wait, I didn't say what the best part was.
Yes.
Are you ready for this?
Yes.
It all builds up to Bjork.
Yes, I remember this.
Getting into, you know, getting in there. And then
she was in the red.
She was. And then unfolding a dress,
yes, dress
that covers the entire stadium.
I do not
remember that.
Don't, oh my God. Yeah, I remember it. Sorry. The red thing is something different. Yes. Because I was like, isn't there something with cloth or something?
And it was Bjork?
It was Bjork.
And what then, connection did she have to Greece?
It was, I think it was just that the people organizing this had really good taste. Yeah. And were just like this. And she sang a song that was called like Oceania, which is from, I can't remember which album it's from, but it's obviously a song about the ocean.
Yeah. Right.
So it's like in Greece, like, whatever. But I mean, for it to end with that.
That's amazing. So crazy.
It's just like.
Do we remember, was that a Phelps moment?
That was his first.
Or was that
big.
An Ian Thorpe moment?
It might have been his first. Oh, wait, was he in Sydney?
He was not in Sydney. I think Athens was his first.
It might have been
Beijing
his first.
Was like Beijing and London were like peak, I want to say.
Yes.
I feel like every.
I would say Beijing was.
Yeah.
Was like the beginning. Yeah.
Every Summer Olympics is like defined by a specific hot swimmer.
Right.
Like there was Ian Thorpe from Australia.
Right.
And then there was like Phelps.
Ryan Lochte
was
the
London.
Ryan Lochte of it all was something we tried to get behind so hard. And then we all had to be like, nope, bail.
Was there like a hot swimmer for 2016 for Brazil that like.
Yeah, it was Ryan Lochte because remember he got in all that trouble.
But, like that wasn't his. Like it wasn't like a Star Is Born. Like
they truly tried to make it. They tried to make it his moment because it was like kind
hot
of no longer
of
Ryan. I mean Michael Phelps' moment.
Yeah.
But then when he turned out to be such a true idiot.
Yeah.
Like, we all had to be like, oh, never mind. You're like not fully ours. A national embarrassment. Yeah. And I'll never forget the iconic culture that is Al Roker.
Yes.
Being like, on the Today Show, I think it was like fully Matt Lauer being like, you know, give him a break. And Roker was so literally funny. Like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's great.
We're not going to give him a break.
That's
he
great.
Fucked up.
And then him on 30 Rock just...
Was that after London? Was that after?
No, that
Brazil?
Was before. That was when he had goodwill,
yes.
And he was like in on the joke.
And it made you like him for him to be like willing to be called the sex idiot
no,
on 30 Rock.
I know.
Oh my God.
I actually think his reality show may have been on E.
Wow.
Wait, who's Roker's?
No, Lochte.
Oh, Ryan Lochte. I was still on the Al. I'm still on the Al Roker. Yes, Ryan Lochte did, and I believe he was also on some reality show that was like watch them fuck sort of.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
Right?
That's like great. Just watch them fuck.
Watch
well,
them
like literally any anything with like D-list celebrities in a house where they're all like hot and barely famous. I'm like, "Oh, this is a watch them fuck show."
Sure.
This is a show we're going to like watch two of them like sort of flirt for a little while and then we're going to be like, "When they fuck?"
Yeah,
and then
can
either
I just
they will
say
or they
something
won't
that this is the intelligence that Bowen was talking about is that you just I'm serious
yeah.
And this is what I love about your sense of humor is that that is such a Matt thing to say that you just summed up all of that with. That's a
watch them fuck show.
Well, I accept that.
There you go.
Thank you so much. It's great to know that I have a voice.
Uh huh.
It's actually real culture number 11.
It's great to know that I have a voice. George, I relate to you watching the opening ceremonies on YouTube very hard because I do that for Beijing all the time.
I
did not have the privilege of being there like you were at Athens, but oh my God.
You
were there. That's crazy.
It was like I would say to this day, like, when I think of any kind of live performance I've seen,
sure,
like,
that's huge.
It was also like a lot of firsts. I mean, it's literally that was the first live musical performance, like the first
really?
Like quote unquote concert.
Wow,
I mean it's not a concert.
Yeah,
so the idea that like as a 11, 12 year old the first person I ever saw live was Bjork.
Yeah,
it's just like so
street cred for yourself.
It's just so silly.
Who was the first?
Because I did not have like I was not like in middle school and high school someone who was like Indian had sophisticated taste
right.
Like all
yeah,
like
yeah,
I had
yeah.
I was I mean it, obviously I had all these blind spots which was one reason but I also just like didn't I wasn't that deep of a thinker
sure,
then.
Sure.
Who was the first live concert you saw?
Funnily enough, Imogen Heap.
Was it really? Yeah.
Paramount Theater in Denver. I mean, my parents didn't really let me go to I would beg every year to go to see Blink-182 or something. My parents would be like, no.
No way.
And then Imogen Heap, I went with a bunch of friends from high school and loved it.
Yeah, she's great.
She's great. She's great live. Yeah.
My first concert was Mariah.
Right.
I love that.
And
this reads for all of us in a deep way. I just want to say,
sure.
You seeing Bjork.
Thank you.
You, Imogen Heap, and me, Mariah Carey.
Love that.
I love how that reads for all of us.
I love how that
You know
reads
which
for all
opening
us.
Ceremony I rewatch a lot is London, because I'm so glad that they made Spice Girl such a huge part of it.
Well, that was closing ceremonies.
Was it?
Yeah. Spice Girls were a closing ceremony.
The closing is always more fun. Because I also went to the closing ceremony in Athens. And, and that was also super enjoyable, because they brought out all the famous Greek musicians and pop stars. And a lot
I remember Kazan.
There were yeah, exactly. Yeah. There were all the and like my favorite there's a Greek pop star named Anna Vissi, and she's kinda like the Madonna of Greece. And I'm obsessed with her. Actually, Theta Hamill also really loves her, because Theta is Greek. And we've bonded over it. But so they brought her out, and there were all these kind of older women, kind of sophisticated women that were they made a mockery of how they brought out pop stars. This is Athens. This is the Olympic Games. And I was woo!
Yes. Yeah.
Well, it's got to be fun for everyone. And I think that's part of why they brought the Spice Girls out at those ceremonies, because it's truly it's so funny to me that the United Kingdom was okay, we have only so much to do. We have, and we're gonna give the Spice Girls 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And they came out and rode around on top of cars.
Taxis.
And they were get up out of your chair! Yeah.
Was it all five of them?
It was all five of them.
Yes. I hate when it's not all five.
It's literally when it's not all five.
Honestly, just punch me in the face.
It's never gonna be all five of them ever again.
Never
They're
again.
They're currently touring, aren't they?
With No Victoria.
With No Victoria, obviously.
But the thing is and I get it, her reasoning for not wanting to do it is literally, if you could boil it down to one sentence, is, you guys, I can't sing. It's just, she doesn't want to do it anymore after doing it for that long. Yeah. I get that she's busy with other stuff, but it's
she knows she's bad at it.
Well, she also, it's not just, yes, it's literal singing, but it's also I don't think she likes performing. I don't think she likes being on a stage and entertaining people.
Yeah. When I was watching the perform, I've actually watched it a bunch lately because they are a gag to me.
What?
The Spice Girls.
The Istanbul?
It's just,
No.
It's just so funny to watch Posh execute choreo.
Oh,
because she's doing it, but she's obviously so on autopilot. And I realize when you look back at the Spice Girls, which I believe we talked about this on our episode with Corinne and Christina, but my favorite thing about Posh always is how over it she was and how little she did. There's that iconic scene in Spice World where they're doing the obstacle course and the reveal that she's just walking around the side. I love that. I think it is so funny. Just the couldn't be botheredness of it.
Yeah.
I love that about her. And so now for her to be I'm actually not coming is
almost
so
like it's
funny
part
to me.
Of the show.
Yeah. It's
they should just
the
have a live
heightened
feed of her. They should have a live feed of her
hologram
at home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait, it's so funny that we're talking about the Spice Girls, because literally my second choice of what I was going to bring up as my thing
was the Spice Girls.
But I was people have done that, and it.
We've actually only talked about it once, and for some reason, cosmically, I think probably because this happened and astrology, I have been watching a lot of Spice Girls media on YouTube lately.
Yeah.
I'm kind of re-obsessed with the whole Jerry leaving the band of it all.
I know.
Oh my God.
It's so crazy to me that she just up and did that, and now they will still all gladly sit down and do long interviews about it.
Yeah.
And now the reveal that Scary Spice, Mel B, and Ginger Spice, Jerry Halliwell, hooked up.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, I believe 100%.
Wait.
I think they ate each other's pussies.
Okay, thank you. Great.
I think that's what they did.
One more time.
I think they ate each other's pussies. And then they were like, hi, see, yeah.
I think they went, hi, see.
You keep smelling that damn pie.
Yes.
Damn bird.
Damn bird.
We should say on the pod, my mom texted me and she said, this is separate. This is mom culture. Christina.
Christina.
That's my aunt's name.
Katrina
Claritas Rogers texted me and said, I was on the beach eating a sandwich and a bird came and snatched up
seagull.
A seagull came and snatched up my sandwich. Damn. Period. No. Space, exclamation point, space. Damn bird. Spelled D-A-M-M. Dan Bird. Now whenever me and Bowen are just, whenever there's too much silence, we'll just turn to each other and go, Dan Bird.
I think it goes on a shirt.
It's merch.
It's merch.
Dan Bird.
Wow, I think it's time.
Is it time?
I think it's time for I Don't Think So, Honey.
It might be time for I Don't Think So, Honey. So you did not come prepared, but do you have something now?
I thought of something, but it's just not going to be. I mean, listen, I've done two of these before.
Yeah, you certainly have.
And if I do say so myself, I did a very good job.
You always do an amazing job. And in fact, as the kids say, you in fact slay and go off.
Yes.
Queen.
So this will be kind of a more rough one, but it's fine.
All right, so I have mine, and I classically go first.
I have mine, but classically Matt goes first. This is Matt Rogers. I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. George Conway.
Oh.
Leave your fucking wife.
Oh.
She is a troglodyte broom. Oh! Thank you, Bowen Yang, who is literally aiding and abetting and helping at all costs to her soul, the president of the United States. And I Don't Think So, Honey, you getting on your fucking Twitter and being like, Trump this, Trump that, fuck Trump. You know how you send a message? Leave your fucking wife, who is a monster. I cannot take you seriously at all. And I really fucking hate this public battle that you're having with your wife. I Don't Think So, Honey. Fucking work it out at home, or fucking send a message that you don't support this by walking out on her, because she is at all costs trying to keep him in office, and she hurts people.
15 seconds.
You are a fucking weak person, and don't think that we're respecting you for getting on your Twitter and then being like, low-key, we don't talk about it at
home.
5 seconds. Fuck you. Leave Kellyanne Conway, who is viciously evil. I Don't Think So, Honey.
And that's 1 minute. So... That's you're going after both of them, but you're telling.
Well, I don't think it's even appropriate to do. I Don't Think So, Honey, Kellyanne Conway, because it's such evil and it's such racist trash. But this guy,
the call to action is for George to leave.
Hello. Kellyanne. It's like you're telling me you can respect her.
I know.
You're telling me you can go home with her every day. You guys raise children together.
Mm.
What is going on?
Mm.
It's disgusting. And when she asked that reporter, what's your ethnicity? If that's where we're at in this country, which it obviously is, and you can go home every day with your fucking dignity, get out of that.
It's the fact that she has a spouse who is in the public figure who is so against the administration. Like, that's what's bumping.
And that is the reality television that I am not signing up for.
Yes.
Because it's not a fucking joke.
Like any other, you know, person on his staff. Like their significant others are like fine. Like, as long as they're on the same, like they're not publicly hashing this out.
I assume that they're all kind of like co-signing it.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but like it goes beyond like we don't talk about politics at home. It's like
we're beyond that at this point.
It is personal. And I'm so tired of going on Twitter and seeing his stuff retweeted. It's like that's her husband, you guys.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm. And honestly, I guess some people take their fucking vows pretty seriously. Ooh. But that's a little too serious for me.
Okay. Wow.
Wow. Gorgeous. I have nothing to add.
Gorgeous.
If you did have something to add.
Wait, do you know what? As we were talking, I got an email that was like, I'm doing this. I won't say what show it is, but I'm doing some show where like there's like a producer and an assistant and a whole fucking thing. And they're like, it's sold out. We're so excited. And it's like a big, and I just got an email from the like head person that was like, if anyone has a camera we can borrow to film the show, like let us know, asking the comedian.
The comedian.
Like that is no. Just like,
your job is to
nothing
not have
is
to ask.
Real. Like, it's just like, nothing is actually serious.
No. Well, politics is serious.
I know.
Yes. And our national situation actually is very serious.
Yes. Okay.
And that's why I do my I Don't Think So, Honey. So now it's time for Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey.
Okay.
And his time will, as a matter of fact, it will start right now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Snapple facts, bitch. It's the information age. And you are not pulling your weight, honey. I don't need to know that snails don't sleep. I'm just making them up. I mean, any little tidbit, little bite of copy that's on like a wrapper or a cap.
Guru.
You know what? Someone gets paid to do that. And that should not be a job anymore. Mm-hmm. There's no use for me to read off a Dove chocolate wrapper some positive affirmation. conversation. For someone to walk away
30 seconds
from one of these caps or wrappers and think that their day's been improved, or that they've walked away with some earned extra knowledge or something, then they lead an unfulfilled life. And I think they have to find the other sources of knowledge, of insight in books. We have to return to books. And until you can print a whole book on a Snapple cap or a Dove chocolate wrapper, I don't think so, honey.
5 seconds.
Those little copywriter people just typing away, getting a paycheck.
And that's 1 minute. Ooh. My problem is they're not all facts.
Right.
Wait, like, how do you...
Sorry, they're not necessarily all true.
And this is, and I'm gonna come for my own culture.
Uh-oh.
Fortune cookies. I don't think so, honey. What are you doing? It's not all fortunes.
Okay, what about Chipotle
cups?
Cups.
I love that because sometimes sometimes it'll be by George Saunders.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it'll be by, you know, fucking some, you know, Sarah Vowell will write a paragraph on a Chipotle cup and it'll be like, yes, work, Sarah, get that check.
See, the thing is, like, you never know when you open a fortune cookie whether you're getting a fortune or to something that's a little, like, kind of adage.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Anyway, if my reference of George Saunders and Sarah Vowell was intellectually superior, I'm sorry to you feel that way, but you know, that's just my truth.
There's two Georges, man. George Conway and George Saunders. Saunders.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of a spectrum. It's a George episode.
When I started my I Don't Think So Honey and said I Don't Think So Honey George, and before I said the last name, were you nervous?
Yes.
Wow.
You really were?
I thought, well, not nerve. I mean, I thought you were going to make a joke about something I said during the episode, and I was like,
no.
What did I say that pissed Matt off?
What do you think people would do in I Don't Think So Honey George Severus about?
Oh,
roast yourself.
Well, I mean, let's see.
He's really thinking about it.
No, I am, because there's an obvious one and I don't want to say it. And the obvious one is that I've spent a year talking about a breakup. And
oh my God. That's how long it takes to get over it.
I know, I know. But then the other thing is I feel like I talk about everything I talk in this episode. Like I talk about being Greek a lot.
So what? That's so your what? Culture, bitch.
I talk about, people also get mad when I'm like, this is my friend from grad school. And then they're like, okay, we got grad school.
Oh, shut up. That's a problem
that's
with them.
That's your education, bitch.
No.
That's a problem with them.
And then I'm like,
what were you supposed to say? That's my friend not from grad school? Where did you meet them?
This happened to me yesterday. Anyway, whatever.
But, ew.
Fuck everyone else.
That's actually rule of culture number two. Fuck everyone else.
Sometimes you have to say things with an extra flavor.
Come on with the flavor. Now, George, are you
I
ready?
Can't believe it. Whatever. Yes, I'm ready. Okay. This is, we'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes. This is George Severus's okay. I Don't Think So Honey's time starts now.
I Don't Think So Honey. People who call their own opinions unpopular.
I hate this.
Okay, you have an unpopular opinion? How subversive.
Yes,
how
beach.
Brave.
Beach.
Okay, let's call up the New York Review of Books. Someone has to write an op-ed about their controversial favorite ice cream flavor. Shall we get a fireside chat going at the New School with Masha Gessen?
Masha, 30 seconds.
And while we're at it, I Don't Think So Honey, people who say, what's your hottest take about XYZ? What is your hottest take about queer video game characters?
15 seconds.
I'll kill you. That's all I have to say. I Don't Think So Honey, people who call their own opinions unpopular.
And that's one minute.
It's true. It's like, it's like this thing of like, when people step forward and say, I'm a singer. It's like, I'll judge that.
Oh, yeah.
You better sing first, and then we'll say if you're a singer. Unpopular opinion, I'll let you know after I hear it. But
and this is, I was going to say,
how popular it is with me.
Unpopular opinion is another way of saying devil's advocate. And I was going to say devil's advocate, is it just a little bit at self-awareness to be like, I know what I'm about to say is like not great.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to turn some heads with this.
Yeah.
Well, it's also defining what you think in terms of what other people think, which is actually a weak position to take. Okay. Like, it's just like, I don't respect your intellectual project.
Sure.
Because it doesn't stem from an actual belief. It stems from you wanting to be contrarian.
But like, let's say we're sitting in a circle, we're just cracking jokes, and you know, one of us says bad joke or bad pitch, blah, 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 blah.
I hate that.
You hate that? I do it all the time.
I hate this is a bad blank, but I really don't like it. Now I'm ready for this bad thing.
Yes, but it's also sort of a defensive thing for the person saying it to be like, I understand that this is not my best.
Yeah. Right, but it's, I mean, I guess...
It's self-aware in a way.
I guess then I don't like the atmosphere that allows that.
Okay.
Because I think that we should just understand that all things are pitches. Mm. And I think we should not just like demand an atmosphere where everything comes in perfect.
Oh.
Because literally nothing ever is.
I always say, which is...
Am I getting red?
Terrible. I'm always like...
What?
No, I'm just like, this is something that really bothers me.
Yes, yes.
Like, this idea that, like, we're not in a room that's supposed to be creative together.
Sure, sure.
Like, we're all supposed to get here and, like, already know exactly, like, you don't know.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, I do that all the time and I hate it in myself. And it's like, yeah. And what I always say, which is so awful, is I'll be like, let's say we're, like, brainstorming titles for, the, you know, this podcast. And mm-hmm. I'm like, and I'll be like, what about, okay, not this, but, and then I'll say something.
Yeah.
Because I want to be like, you know, in this direction, but I haven't actually thought of like.
Well, I kind of like not this, but, because it's like, it's saying I'm pitching an area for us to go
sure,
in.
Right.
Not, well, this is really bad and I'm not even sorry for saying it, but like, it's like, no, this is like, it's even too many words.
So you don't hate it when people say that, but you hate the, what you said before, just you don't like the environment that encourages that.
I hate the sort of like self-indulgent thing of like, so this is going to be really bad, but I don't like that. And I also think that is the reason that exists is because people are scared.
And there's been an impression that like you better come with the perfect thing.
Right. And I think like not this, but there is a difference there. You know what I mean? It's like
saying not this, but is putting clay on the table and then you're going to mold it into something that's going to be good.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Great.
It all comes down to, I guess, how creative environments are run.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I really, really, as if you can tell by my little moans, my phonating, got really horny this episode.
Yeah. Well, I think that...
Well, the good news is we are literally leaving for Fire Island in 3 days.
Now, I'm going to come everywhere.
How sexually active do you guys want to be? Barry?
I actually have not decided. Like,
yeah,
well, I was thinking about
either.
Not just that, but like, I haven't decided what kind of experience I'm trying to manifest. Do you know what I mean?
I want to fall in love.
I don't know either.
George laughs.
I don't know either because can I reveal?
Uh oh.
I'm seeing someone.
LOL. Since when?
Since recently.
Okay, but then. Is this a...
And I don't know if I want to hook up with other
people. You're literally kicking your legs up. I haven't seen you this happy. Now, is this a recent development that... Was there a conversation that was recently had since the last time I've seen
you? There was like a little tiny thing said that I'm just saying in my own brain, like, well, guess what? I'm not trying to hook up with other people right now.
I love that, Matt. I'm so happy for you.
I even had plans tonight to see someone else, and I think I have to text them and be like, actually, I'm sorry. It's not... I'm not interested in that.
Fuck.
Wow.
That's crazy. That's so cool.
I
feel bad for that person a little bit.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, yeah, but the thing is, like, he has to bite the bullet for the greater good of the world.
Oh, which yes. And the greater good for the world. And you being with someone to an exclusive level precludes the greater
good.
But
the thing is, it's not even exclusive because we haven't discussed it being exclusive. I'm just deciding for myself.
That's nice.
I'm actually cool. I actually don't need it. Well, and I think that's actually going to make Fire Island way more pleasant and fun for me.
I agree. You're going to love
it. Taking it off the table helps me so much.
It's what you're describing is so, that is exactly what I would, like, that is such a me thing to do.
Yeah. Just being like, we don't have to have a conversation.
Any excuse to not have the anxiety of like, yeah.
And honestly, once you take that anxiety off the table, you actually, I'm going to say it, are free.
I know.
Because, and I honestly think, I wish that it didn't have to be, well, I'm sort of seeing someone now, to do that, because I honestly think I have been more comfortable in spaces where sex was on the table or like dating was on the table when I've literally said I don't care.
Well, yeah, of course.
You got to throw the deuces up in the air and say I actually don't care, and it is cosmic. It is a cosmic thing. Your energy is more inviting.
Yes, absolutely.
Than when you're like Tinsley Mortimer,
that's
being
how
like, how old are you?
Shit.
Sorry, how old are you?
Oh my god,
do you want kids?
You're reading Tinsley.
I will read Tinsley to Phil.
I want to just really swerve the narrative back in my direction.
Come on, take it, bitch.
I want to fall in love.
Yes, you can, you do.
I
you should, and you deserve.
I just had this, you know where I'm at, where I just had this really intense thing recently in the last couple of days that I'm just like, I just want to like sort of like wash it out.
You don't want it.
I don't think I want it.
I have a question.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
What are like... how do you go about, like, when we're all there together?
Yes.
Are there opportunities?
Yes.
To, like,
well, he didn't know what he's saying yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, Beach. Every Come opportunity.
No,
every
just
opportunity.
Like, what would an ideal narrative look like for you? Of, like, where would you want to meet someone?
Uh-huh.
How do you want it to happen?
Could be anywhere.
Literally describe your dream date scenario at Fire Island.
Okay.
Go.
You know, maybe we're sharing a substance and
yes, something to tell your grandkids.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And then we talk and we go for a while. I don't have any sort of parameters on this. I just want to fall.
No, you know what? And here's what I think. It can happen at any moment. It's actually rule of culture number 12. Love can happen at any moment.
Well, I'm just like, I for some reason I'm divorcing the love part from the sex part. I don't think I need to have sex with anybody.
You don't.
Because I've done it on Fire Island where it's just like, oh, that was awful and I did not get anything out of that.
Mm-hmm. There's this, like, what's the shape of a chart I'm thinking of? When it's like, there's like a sweet spot of like just enough kind of a horny gay men around me where yes. I am then also horny.
Yeah, yeah. And sex then and love are different.
But that is absolutely not what I'm talking about.
Go, bitch. You talk. Parabola from the Greek parabolas.
Yeah. Yes.
No, but then when I'm like in a giant party of all like sweaty bodies, it's like I'm asexual.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
There you go.
There's nothing less horny to me than bags of meat blopping around to music that's also, like this. It's like void of anything.
Yeah. And also all I need, if I see one person that's like too drunk or too high who has just like kind of a dead in the eyes look, that immediately I'm just like, oh god, this is like a scene from Skins.
Yes.
Oh,
it's like from Euphoria.
From Euphoria, yes.
Have you watched Euphoria?
I've watched the pilot and I want to keep watching.
I've heard that it is stunning, and apparently Zendaya is the real fucking
she's so
deal.
Good she's and great. You know what, I was gonna I saw
Zendaya,
you tweet about
Zendaya I'm sorry Zendaya
I saw you tweet about this and what was it that you
I said
we have no choice but to
I said
say.
I said interesting development yes, that yes. we may have no choice
and
but
it
to
is
Zendaya.
It is I didn't see it coming
no because how could
she
you?
Was a punchline
yeah
I'm sorry but she was
Like, well, she was a Nickelodeon
Disney
star.
Not in a mean
star.
Way, but just kind of like the, you
LOL,
know, the
yeah.
kind of like trying to make Zendaya happen. Like greatest yes. showman. Like yeah, it was yeah, just yeah. like, oh God, her again. And she is really good in this
very
show.
Good
I it. Also think you always have to take someone with a grain of salt when they come at you from a very early age with one name.
Come on.
It's like, okay,
Lalaine.
So very that. It's like, so clearly you think you're an icon.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That
yeah.
you think this is going to be a one name thing. Because her last name is what? Coleman?
Oh my God, I did not know that.
I think she's
I
got like
know.
A normal ass
I
last
know.
Name.
I don't
HPA.
Know.
Do you know?
HPA.
We're on
it.
It.
I love that.
But I think her last name is something straight up from down the block. Coleman.
Thank you, man.
Zendaya Coleman also is like a good name. Like,
gorgeous.
Yeah, you could easily be a celebrity with that name.
You can easily be a celebrity with that name, Zendaya Coleman. It's actually Rule of Culture number 50.
You
can
easily
be
a
celebrity
with
the name
Zendaya
Coleman. But she chose to have one name, and that is sort of a red flag. And then you slay the pilot of Euphoria. I've gotten so many texts being like, you need to watch Euphoria.
Hunter Schafer, I really love
her. I was about to say, she is really kind of a breakout.
She's incredible.
And is very smart. I read an interview with her recently.
Yeah.
Also, Maude Apatow is in it?
Yes, Maude's in it.
Oh, I didn't know. She wasn't in the pilot. I don't
she wasn't in the pilot, just very briefly.
She was?
She was the friend who, when Zendaya goes to her friend's house, she's the friend who greets her at the door.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I have my... No, actually, can I say this is exactly what...
Say it.
This is the scene that needs to happen for me to fall in love on Fire Island.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
I have to be sitting on the dock
mm-hmm.
next to this person.
Lodi.
While the sun sets.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell them, look at the sunset. Look at the sunset right now. Look at it right now.
You can't look away.
So George, I'm sorry, but you're out of the running. And
your dad, your ex-boyfriend's dad
my
is actually
ex's dad
in the running.
Is in the running.
So it'll be with him.
All right. What's his name? Full name?
I can't.
So we can time capsule this?
Zendaya, actually.
Coleman.
Zendaya Coleman.
Do you know what's, okay, do you want to hear something crazy? It rhymes with Zendaya.
No,
I'm not kidding.
Was he Greek?
I swear to God, I'm not kidding. He's Israeli.
Israeli.
Oh.
Oh my God. Maybe the title of this episode is Rhymes with Zendaya.
I think the title... I think
that's good.
I love that.
That's great. I love that.
Yay! We found the title.
I love this episode.
This is a great episode because it served the culture. Honestly, it served Greece was the first culture.
I remember when we made the list of the top 10 cities of culture.
And actually, Athens snuck in there and bumped London.
Wow.
Which Athens was controversial in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you for bringing Athens to the show.
I had such a great time.
Thank you.
We love you so
much. What a joy. I'm so excited we get to spend a week together.
That'll be really fun.
That'll be really fun.
And I'll be very much, I'm in a different house, but I'll be very much the Kimmy Gibbler / Stephen Urkel of the house where I will kind of come over.
Yeah, we're also still looking to fill one room in our house. So.
Yeah, we've got one spot.
Las Culturistas listeners.
Come on.
When this comes out in August, just know that 3 weeks prior, we really struggled to fill a room in that house.
And I'll keep you posted if I fall in love.
I know we're going to hear updates. I wanted to be real with the listeners.
I know. Here we go. Let's close with the song as we always do. If I was who I was before, then I'd be walking at your door. But I cannot convince I am the same. But if you give a little, get a little, maybe we can learn to love each other. Bye. Bye.
Fuck. Oh my God, look at the sunset.
Yes.
Don't look away.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.